Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues. I know this is a hot topic. So we might be able to fit a couple of calls in about 15 minutes from now if you want to continue on our discussion there about Joe Biden's VP pick, if you like it or not. You can also text in at 314-436-7900. Joining us now is Bankrate.com senior economic analyst. And what really is going to be the impact of this payroll tax cut, this holiday for a couple of months? Will it really make a difference? Mark Hamrick, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Did I hear you're a Jim White fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, a long time ago when I was growing up, I spent fifth grade in Crestwood. And later, my dad, he was associated press correspondent in St. Louis at that time. And then he eventually went down to southeast Kansas, town of Coffeyville, where I graduated from high school. And all along the way, KMOX was just, you know, the station to listen to. Loved listening to the blues. Dan Kelly back in those days, Jack Buck, of course. And by the time we settled in Coffeyville, I aspired to work in broadcasting. And I was, you know, quite young. And so one night, despite the many miles that separated southeast Kansas from St. Louis, I was able to get in on the phone lines, 436-7900. And he took the call, and he was a perfect gentleman, even though, you know, my voice was cracking. And, what should I do? And I believe, as I recall, he suggested I would go to SIU Carbondale. That was my brush with greatness at that early part of my career. So St. Louis has always held a special place in my heart. And in southeast Kansas, of course, before baseball was commonly televised, there'd be the equivalent of a civil war of people listening to the Royals or the Cardinals, whether they were National League or American League fans, of course, you know.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad that you have an idea of the history of this, and I'm glad that you had a great Jim White story. I'm always up for hearing those. You know, right now we're trying to understand what could be happening in the second half of the year, if there's going to be some sort of second stimulus deal that the Democrats and Republicans put together, if there's going to be a challenge to the executive orders, if there will be a stay in the executive orders, what exactly would happen. I'm more curious about the idea of a payroll tax holiday or a payroll tax cut and different ways to approach it, even if it's a temporary thing for September through the end of the year. Do you think it'll make a difference in the economy, or do you think for the most part it would be a moot point?
I think it's the latter. First of all, let's remember, just to sort of frame it, because these days a week feels like, you know, previously a decade. You know, the president was essentially pressing Congress with the idea of, you know, please pass a payroll tax cut. But even members of his own party were not willing to climb aboard that bandwagon for any number of different reasons, and certainly not Democrats. And ultimately, you have to surmise that there's not a member of Congress, meaning in the House and Senate broadly, or at least certainly not a majority, that wants to effectively defund Social Security and Medicare over the long term. And the president's continuing to beat this drum. So, you know, as he sometimes has habit to do, he sought to get his own way by at least temporarily not passing a tax cut or ordering one, but rather ordering a so-called payroll tax deferral. So what does this really mean? And just to remind people about how it works, because not everybody spends every minute of every day glued to their pay stubs, essentially, you know, we're all taxed a rate of 6%, which would go to the Social Security Trust Fund. And that maxes out at some point, but that's neither here nor there for purposes of this discussion. So a way to get more money into your bank account or into your pocket is to ask an employer not to take that money out of the paycheck. So So that's essentially what the executive order did, was to press employers all across the country to say, please don't take this money out of paychecks between September 1st and December 31st, the 6% of paychecks. Mm-hmm. So a couple of observations. Number one, if it helps anybody, this helps workers, not the unemployed, when we have 16.3 million people in the country who remain unemployed. And it doesn't, at the end of the day, I would argue, doesn't really help workers either, because the money will still be due. And so the question is, how does all that work if employers aren't sort of capturing the money that is due to be paid to the Treasury now? It will be due come the first of the year, not only because of the 6% that should always be withdrawn, but the 6% that is being, quote unquote, deferred. So I think that it's as much as anything, the president seizing upon the initiative, because obviously both houses of Congress were not able to agree on a common thought, so to speak, in terms of the legislation itself. And he has a talking point to say, I did some things. But, you know, you have the Business Roundtable, which is hardly a liberal think tank. It's comprised of the CEOs of the largest companies, publicly traded companies. And you have the National Governors Association both saying, you know, essentially, we applaud the president for, basically tipping his hat toward the needs of the American people. But what we really need is an agreement in Congress. Mm-hmm. Both of those statements were almost identical. The Business Roundtable has some specific legislative suggestions. But so to answer your question, I don't really think it helps the economy, and the economy needs help. But that probably isn't the help that it needs.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll hate the idea so much that it'll give them more incentive to make a deal as opposed to allow this to try to go through the system, and who knows what would happen if challenged and it sits there. The other portion of this, and I wonder if you remember back, did the same thing happen after September 11th? Was there a payroll tax holiday then?
Yeah, I've heard mention in the last 24 hours that apparently it happened twice, I believe, under President Obama. I believe it was significantly, in that time when the economy, in other words, I think it happened during the Great Recession, and it may have happened after 9/11 as well, but that is definitely in need of fact-checking.
The thing is, I don't remember the impact of it, if I had to pay it back after, if that was the case. And certainly at the end of the year, if we're talking about, what do they say? They're trying to find a way for it to even out to $1,200 a worker, as opposed to just sending a check out to everyone. But the idea is, hey, if you get a little bit less out of your check, which would essentially equal up to some money that you would save. So, hey, it's almost as if you're getting a second stimulus check in the mail or whatever it may be. But if you owe that at the end, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be in some serious trouble, not realizing that they had to have at least set some of that aside. Or what if they would be expecting on a refund by the next year?
Right.
And not receiving that refund, that's going to throw a lot of people off, too. It's just like delay in the inevitable. I also don't like the idea of being held hostage, the idea that if you vote for Donald Trump and he gets into office, then he may absolve it or not. So, you know, kind of dangling that's there's a lot of uncertainty with it, too. I would rather just to have a deal. It would be good to just have a deal in place. Do you believe there's going to be a deal?
Well, I buy into your argument that to some degree it does pressure all sides to do something. And, you know, it doesn't really look good for anybody right now from the standpoint of, not passing legislation. To one of the points you just made, though, the president dangling this out there is as meaningless as it was when he was sort of pressing Congress to pass all this in the first place. There's you know, no snowball's chance that this is going to be made a permanent part of law. It just isn't. I mean, you know, imagine the notion that we're no longer going to fund Social Security and Medicare. It doesn't make sense. So these are two of the most popular programs around. So, you know, this is just sort of his circular logic to say, well, we may clean that up down the road, but, well, hey, guess what? You first need to get elected again, you know. So Well, that's the thing. You're not going to get support in Congress. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's like a thing for him. It's almost like a no-lose. So, like, let's say he is not reelected, then it's like, okay, not my problem. And let's say he isn't reelected, then he'll make that push. We're going to try to get rid of it altogether. So, to him, there's no lose per se, unless people look at it ahead of time and see that as a reason not to vote for him, which I don't believe would be the case. But, yeah, that would be pretty devastating. It's hard to you know, when we talk about some of these massive spending bills and we look at the $3 trillion that we added in the first stimulus and how are we going to pay that back, you look forward to all of the other unfunded obligations we would have if we start to take away from what would be going into Social Security would be devastating. And then, you know, we make fun of and we look at some of the other proposals like, you know, universal basic income for everyone. And we look at how difficult it would be to fund Medicare for all. And then we say to ourselves, well, how in the world can we support something like taking away the tax there, the payroll cut, the payroll tax, because it would be essentially the same thing. How in the world would you be able to fund any of this stuff? So it's a tough position to be in. All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't really have another thing to add there.
Well, your level of confidence that, let's say, something happens as opposed to nothing, do you think something will happen?
I would give it a better than 50-50 shot. You know, the news cycle now will be dominated by the presidential campaign, at least for, it would seem, a couple of days. So to some degree, that may, you know, take some of this off of the front burner, so to speak. You know, you have to think that McConnell wants a deal. You have to think Pelosi wants a deal. And, you know, we know Pelosi resisted the idea of sort of passing legislation piecemeal. And it's also curious to me that the Senate Majority Leader McConnell basically allowed the White House to take the wheel on negotiations in recent days because, you know, the president's chief of staff was a member of the Freedom Caucus. So, you know, you have to wonder where his heart is at on all this if you are part of a group that basically takes a very, very hard line on spending federal dollars. So and so far, obviously, there's nothing to show for it. So it may have been that McConnell saw that there was no way to win right now, meaning, you know, the president might have been viewed as just not really being adequately centered on the proposals that he would be willing to sign. And so maybe that was a way of kind of trying to push them into the spotlight to take a stand. And well, here we are, and we don't have any more to show for it.
Mark Hamrick joining us. And by the way, if people wanted to stay up to date on this, where can they find some of the things you guys are talking about?
Well, of course, you know, I work for Bankrate.com, and we've had some great work by our team in the last 24 to 48 hours. So if you just go to Bankrate.com, we're a free site trying to help people accomplish their financial goals, and probably could find it via Google or, you know, follow me on Twitter at Hamrickisms. Been shared there as well. So very easy to find through our free website.
Awesome. Bankrate.com. Mark Hamrick is the senior economic analyst for them. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I'm so glad that you shared a Jim White story.
Well, next time we'll talk about my St. Louis Blues story when we come on. So
yes.
Thanks for having me.
Very good. He joins us on the Quipper River Electric guest line. Love local stories like that. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
And Overnight America is happy to be with you here tonight. See, I just kind of refer to myself as Overnight America, which is kind of a weird way to approach things. There's a lot that I want to get to on the show tonight, and there's a couple of COVID things. Dr. Lieberman's going to join us. She's a certified psychiatrist, has a master's in public health. As the COVID lockdowns and keeping away from other people and not being able to visit, not traveling, you know, all of the different bad news that comes out about this lingers on. It has been taking a pretty big mental toll on a lot of different people. So she's going to talk about that. And I'm kind of interested to hear her take on it because there's really no end in sight for this, is there? Is it just going to get worse? Or are we going to see more and more people sink into a depression because of this? So we'll join her in about 10 minutes from now. Before we do that, let's go to Mike, who's holding the line. Welcome to Overnight America.
Brian, is that you?
It is. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm over here in Illinois. I live out in RFD, Rural Farming District, and been taking a ride around the countryside once in a while, you know, to kill the boredom. And I got some relatives that are big-time farmers and some neighbors, and these farmers are lifelong Democrats. I mean staunch. And I about hit the ditch, Trump signs in their front yard.
Huh. How do you know they're Democrats?
Huh. I know them.
Oh, you do know
We've
them. Okay.
Had, yeah, relatives.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so what
we have
do you think
several
is
several heated, heated discussions? Like I think it's about, I guess about China deal, the tariffs. You know, but I could not believe what I see, and also I'm starting to see a bunch of Pritzker suck signs.
Those are pretty
popular. All over. St. Clair County. So
they're over here too, though. I mean, I was in St. Charles and saw those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they sell those shirts on the streets. And I was at downtown St.
Right.
Charles a couple weeks ago, and I saw them on display for sale.
Well, they're popping up all over. But I just thought I'd give you a heads up on RFD. These
right,
farmers are lifelong Democrats, and like I said, I about, I mean, there's 10 to 15. I about fell over.
All right. Good to hear from you, Mike. Thanks for calling in. That's interesting. I wonder, because I don't see too many of the signs. When there's a, if you got a farm or you got a barn even, I think the political candidates will do anything they can to try to give you money to get you to paint their name on your barn. When I lived in Ohio, that was a big deal. Ohio being a swing state. They really would look for farm owners that had nice real estate in the side of a barn. And then I remember talking to some of those owners, and they would be approached, here, I'll give you X amount of dollars. You got to keep it up for this long. You got to make sure it looks nice, but here's what we would do if you want to get this. And sometimes you drive by it and you see these old signs. They've been there forever. Not quite like Reagan era, but they would just be there forever because once you paint a barn, you know how much money it costs to paint over it? It's probably not worth it if you supported the candidate anyway. Where are they getting the signs? I don't see too many Trump signs. Every once in a while, I'll see something, but not all that often. And that does surprise me. Normally, the demographic of farmers have not been friendly to the Democrat Party. The farmers seem to be predominantly Republican. They live in a rural area. They want to be left alone. They don't want to be overtaxed. And if anything, the Republicans have been very friendly to farmers over the years. The Democrats have not. That surprises me that there's a big sect of Democrat farmers out there. That's kind of a rarity. That almost seems like it would be some sort of podcast on NPR where they would go and they would do an expose on that sort of thing. So your mentality, how has that been during COVID? A lot of people have been slipping and they've been having a hard time dealing with it, and it's not getting any better. The idea that your kids are going to be home from school going on a laptop or going on an iPad to learn is something that's making it even more stressful, more difficult, and people are really seeing this as, hey, doom and gloom of the future. There's not a lot to look forward to in the future, and that does take a mental toll. So we're going to talk to a certified psychiatrist and a master in public health. Dr. Lieberman's going to join us next on Overnight America KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And I got to say, it's always fun when we get opportunities to spend this time at night. And I also have to say that we get to talk to some real fascinating people. We know that this has been a difficult time for a lot, many, many, many who have been disrupted because of this virus. And the tough thing is, when you look at the news, it's difficult to see that there's going to be any sort of end in sight. And you know that takes a toll on a lot of different people's minds. So joining us now is a board-certified psychiatrist with a master's in public health, Dr. Carol Lieberman. Thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Well, thank you.
And I'm curious, we've seen the different restrictions in place for a few months now, and we're looking forward, and we see all the different cancellations. You know, hey, college sports isn't going to play, or what's going to happen with football or baseball or whatever it is. And there's all these things that people are just used to keeping them on track in life that are starting to get postponed, and it is taking a toll on a lot of different people. I'm curious what you think, how serious this pandemic is to everyone's mental health.
Yes, I think it's not so much the pandemic itself. I mean, although, of course, there are people dying and getting sick and so on, but it is more the reaction, the restrictions, the things that you've been mentioning, the things that are changed and without any firm date of when they're going to resume, and especially the changes in the information that we've been given. I mean, all of the contradictions and including things like closing or not just, I mean, of course, this depends on where you live. But in California, for example, there is a ban on being able to gather in churches and synagogues. And at the same time, there is not a ban on letting people continue violently protesting and spreading COVID by not wearing masks and not standing 6 feet apart while they're doing it. And this is a time when we really do need prayer more than ever. I mean, that's one of the things that can help us get through these troubled times. Certainly with 9/11, that was one of the things, you know, churches and synagogues were filled to the brim after 9/11. And that was something that was really powerful in bringing us back to the way we were.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There were those things that brought us together, but so much of this pandemic has really torn us apart, further apart, and isolated us. And the problem, too, is when you start to isolate people, it's only a matter of time. It's tough. There's always those scenarios you see on social media where people post up a beautiful cabin and they'll say, if you can stay here for a year without talking to anyone, you get to keep it afterwards. Would you take the challenge? And everyone thinks they can. But then in reality, you can barely last 2 weeks in your own home, you know, even with internet and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, right now, we are seeing a lot of kids that are being told they can't go back to their classrooms here in St. Louis, at least in the region. It seems like 60-40 or 70-30, 70% are probably staying home. And a lot of these areas that are welcoming the kids back in are doing so very cautiously, and it's a whole different experience. And then, of course, you have the adult side of things. The adults are used to going out and working. Some are working from home. So everything's all mixed up right now. Are you more concerned for adults or kids during this time, or is it equally as challenging?
Well, I mean, they're each challenging in a different way. Certainly, I think the kids should be going back to school. I think that there has been a pandemic of fear that has been spread, and that includes making some adults think that it's not safe to send kids back to school. And, you know, that has so many repercussions for the kids and for the adults. Needless to say, adults who have to stay home and care for the kids can't go back to work if they have a job to go back to, I mean, unless they are able to work from home. But mostly for the kids, it's not only education that they're missing out on, but also the socialization, the things that they are supposed to be learning social-wise or psychologically at each age. They are not learning when they're home, you know, locked up at home. I mean, yes, there are some homes where, in a lot of homes, there is bonding going on, increased time when parents could be with the kids and have talked to them and so on. But I treat kids and families, and I have seen firsthand that kids are dropping out of school. I mean, I'm talking about all ages of kids. They're just losing their enthusiasm for learning. So they are not tuning in when classes are supposed to be. You know, they're just not going on to Zoom, especially when it's a situation where the school or the teacher can't know whether who is tuned into them. And they're either staying asleep in the morning, you know, they're sleeping late, or they're playing video games. And of course, violent video games are very dangerous. Any kind of violent entertainment is very bad for kids because it makes them more aggressive. And they are spending a lot of time on social media where they're either being bullied or they're feeling jealous about other kids, you know, how kids make their, adults too, we make our lives seem so glamorous on social media, right? So the kids are jealous and think that other kids have a better life than they do. And they are just getting out of, and really, they haven't learned anything during this past semester that they've been off. And what they learned in the first semester, they've forgotten. So the idea that classes are going to start, whether online or in person, and just take up pretty much from where they left off or maybe do a little review. I mean, it's just, it's a hole, you know, it's a hole in their foundation, a weakness in their foundation that any other education, any subsequent education is going to be very unstable being built on it.
The stability, trying to find something that's normal, those are type of things that really do keep people grounded, but you're seeing a lot of that being disrupted. And you're right about the end of school last year. So you talked to the educators and they were forced to go to virtual learning, but they didn't have a plan in place on how to execute that. So it was a lot of wasted time. In the case of seniors, they pretty much just graduated everyone. They said, all right, well, see you later. So now you're getting in, people have plans, they're trying to prepare for this in the long run. And we realize that this could be lasting a lot longer than anyone wants. So I'm curious what you think could be done in order to try to fight back against some of this fatigue a lot of people are feeling.
Yes, there's a general feeling of both being overwhelmed and helpless and exhaustion. You know, like even when you think about things that you would like to do to fix things or plans, you know, your to-do list for the day, it is very easy to have it just kind of fall apart when you're feeling depressed or angry or just exhausted. I mean, people do need to make an effort to change that. It does take a lot of effort, but it's certainly doable. And that includes things like, first of all, the basics, things like eating nutritious food, trying to get enough sleep, getting exercise, even if that's just walking around your front yard or your house, putting music on and dancing in your living room. And then taking vitamins, taking supplements for your immune system, and doing things that decrease stress, from getting aromatherapy candles, putting that around, or putting plants around your house, or going out in nature, and also needing to include humor. People, you know, it's so hard for people to think about putting at least an hour of humor into their day, but that is something that has enormous benefits and is very needed right now, even though, you know, if you can think, oh, how can I laugh? You know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. But it is so important to keep your spirits up so that you can do something. If you don't like what's going on in the world, then do something about it. But, you know, whether the humor is watching cartoons with your kids or romantic comedies or looking up jokes on the internet, any way that you can find humor, that's a very important part. And then, of course, reaching out to other people for social support. I mean, we have, you know, at the beginning, it was kind of fun doing Zoom with people who you've never done Zoom with before. And then we've had Zoom fatigue, you know, besides crisis fatigue, we're having Zoom fatigue. It's just kind of not that much fun anymore. So we have to find new ways of doing things. And realizing, I mean, there is going to be an end to this eventually. But, you know, there are some people who have used this time have sunk during this time. I mean, you know, at the beginning, especially, I was telling people about how you need to look at this lockdown as a gift of time, that before coronavirus and before the lockdowns, we would be in our little hamster wheels and thinking about things we wanted to do, like reading a book or calling an old friend. And then we'd say, oh, I don't have time to do that. And now we have the gift of time. But we've had so much gift of time, and some people have been able to use that more productively than others. And there's still time. That's the good news. There's still time for you to become more productive. You know, like some people have made the COVID-19, gaining 19 pounds, eating comfort food. It's all understandable, but we need to think about whether we want people to see us after we can come out and we've kind of let ourselves go. And of course, watching our 24/7 television does not help. By that I mean television news does not help, where the message is we're all going to die. You know, that has been, I guess, the biggest problem, the biggest thing that has made people feel depressed and listless and all of that, because just watching it for so many hours a day, you really do feel like there's nothing you can do. It's pushing a big rock up a hill.
Mm. And as you as an individual, you're someone that's just one person. What are you going to do if all these experts, people that know what they're talking about, can't figure it out? Yeah, it does put that toll on your mind. And there's all these things that are working against you. It's just kind of natural, though. It seems like people gravitate towards the doom and gloom, which has got to be difficult to combat. Which, by the way, you're a board-certified psychiatrist in Masters in Public Health, Dr. Carol Lieberman. One other question for you here tonight. What do you think we could be doing better as, let's say, a country, and let's say Dr. Fauci or Dr. Burks or someone along those lines, you had the ability to send a message to them to delay or to put out to the American people in order to make things better. What would you encourage them to go out and say?
Well, I have been trying to get a message to Dr. Fauci from the beginning. He has been the number one voice of gloom and doom from the very beginning, you know, from those early press conferences, both the way he looks, you know, with that sad face, and his words, and you know, not really taking into consideration. I don't think he ever took psychology 101 in college, because gloom and doom makes you feel stressed and weakens your immune system. So whatever he has said after that, and you know, there's been lots of changes and contradictions and all of that, but there is no point in weakening our immune system. That is only making us more susceptible to coronavirus. We have to think about, you know, some of the things that I've been saying. We have to think about how to strengthen our psyche, our emotions, rather than just, you know, I mean, Dr. Fauci, his latest is saying we all need to wear goggles, you know. Next is going to be hazmat suits. I mean, When lockdowns came around, that's when the suicide rates went up. It's more how we've been controlled rather than the disease itself. Really, as it's turning out, of course it's sad for the people who died or got sick, but as it's turning out, and really a lot of us have been saying this from the beginning, that it isn't as gloom and doom as we were made to believe. And we just have to, you know, if everyone just took care of themselves and their loved ones in terms of doing everything to make your immune system stronger, which includes the things that I was saying, stress relief, laughter, social support, talking with other people and so on, that then we would be much healthier and this would be over much faster.
You know, if people wanted to look you up or some of the things that you're doing or maybe documenting, where can they find you?
Well, my basic website is drcarole.com, which is drcarole.com. And then I am the terrorist therapist, so it's terroristtherapist.com.
That's interesting. That was directed towards kids, if I remember, trying to have parents and discussions about all the dangers in the world that you see, the doom and gloom on the other side of things, which is very important, too, when it comes to combating these things and the way that you discuss this with your kids. You really got to keep a mindful and a watchful eye on your kids during this time. Dr. Carol Lieberman, drcarole.com, board-certified psychiatrist, master's in public health as well. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX tonight.
Well, thank you.
She joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
This may actually go hand in hand with our last guest, Dr. Carol Lieberman, who was talking about the mental side of things, not only for adults, but for teens as well. And the dropout rate of teens, they're saying, I'm just not doing this with a computer. What are we going to see? What are we going to see in the high school levels? If it's something prolonged for the full year, are they going to be way behind? The experience is not going to be the same when it comes to their education. And it's going to be very difficult for teachers to combat this. But some teachers are doing a pretty good job at least trying to keep the eye on the prize, showing that, hey, I understand we can still have some fun doing this and trying to keep the morale up. And I saw the story on KMOV. There's a math teacher at Parkway High School, Parkway South High School, who did the Hamilton song, You'll Be Back. Now, I don't know much about Hamilton. I haven't seen the musical. My wife's a big fan of it. But I understand the whole idea of, you know, Alexander Hamilton back into the founding of the country. But you have the King of England who sings this song, you know, about, oh, look at these Americans. They'll be back. But the idea of this is, hey, you'll be back into school sometime soon. He recorded this inside of a classroom, and he actually did a really good job with it. You know, he's dressed up in, like, Hamilton garb, it looks like, too. All right, take a listen to this. See if you like it.
They say that COVID is spreading too fast and you must stay away. It's true. No need to be worse than last year when we all had the flu. Why so sad? Remember, I've trained and I've studied and worked to prepare. Now you're gonna be rad.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna pause it there for a second. This is teacher Scott DeGitz Fries. And if I was in high school and my teacher did this, here's the problem. If I'm 15 or 16, I don't look at this like I do as an adult. As an adult, I can look at this and say, oh, this is so cool that he did this. If I go back into my mindset as a teenager inside of a class, I would have been thinking to myself, I cannot believe he did this, right? It would have been like, how embarrassing for him to put this together. I wouldn't have looked at it as a positive. It goes to show you a little bit of maturity goes a long way. Now, I wonder if the kids like this sort of thing. Do they look at this and say, oh, he's the coolest teacher ever? Or do they look at it and say, oh, what a weirdo.
Just think of the upsides. No hallways or footwear. You'll be back in this room. Until then, I'll teach you well on Zoom. You'll be back, don't you fret. You'll learn lots online, don't stress or sweat. Scores will rise, fears will fall. I'll be there to see you through it all. Cause when tests come, you'll love that I gave you online homework to prepare. Oh man, you're gonna love. Da 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 da.
I don't know why I like this. It's actually super creative, and it also reminds me of all the stupid dad jokes I do to my son, because I'll take a song or I'll take a phrase, and then I'll twist it around, and he gets very upset that I would do such a thing because he knows I'm wrong and I'm making a joke, and the joke is stupid. But I don't know if he ultimately likes it or not. He may just be more annoyed than someone that would enjoy this sort of thing. But if you're a kid in that class, it's kind of cool. I guess it shows you have some confidence. Some teachers have more confidence than others to be able to pull something like that off. I guess he's looked at, and maybe the attitudes have changed since I've been in high school. Maybe attitudes have changed where this stuff is more acceptable, because in a YouTube world, these kids are used to seeing people perform stuff like this, and they're looked at as celebrities. Oh, can you believe it? That person got 100 views on YouTube with their song. I'm so jelly. But then they see a teacher do it. Let me see how many views that had, by the way. Let me pull that up. Here's the COVID song, and I hope it's a lot, honestly. How many views? It's, wow, 18,000, a lot. Good for him. 18,000 people have watched this. All right, three cheers to him. Hopefully the kids don't give him a hard time for it. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.